is North Sound One Friday Sports.
Welcome in the next 60 minutes. We'll bring you everything you need to for a complete weekend of sporting action ahead. Tonight, second in the league, semi-finalists in the League Cup. Just how far can these dons go? Next up, SPFL new boys, Partick Thistle, Epitotry in the Monday evening TV game. With both camps ahead of that one, and it's a big weekend in the Scottish Cup too. With no game for the Dons to beat ahead, Kuta would like you to come along and cheer them on in what will be their giant killing attempt. We'll hear more later. Plus the rest of the national roundup, the English Premier League and more ahead of the in-demand top 30 on the North East. Number one for sport across the region before seven. Stay with us.
This is Friday Sport on North Sound One with John Mellis, Dave McDermott, and Dave Galloway.
But first, away from home, to the side who finished second in the league last season, down to 10 men inside 13 minutes, losing players to injury during the game. You wouldn't fancy us to win, would you? Courtesy of Ray TV, here's three men close to expiring.
Over it comes deep, and Anderson!
Yes!
It's Anderson today!
Oh, yes.
Considine with his first goal of the season. And we have 8 minutes left. And would you believe it? Motherwell 0, Aberdeen 1. Absolute beauty. An absolutely fantastic header. Scott Vernon's got Johnny Hayes away to his left. That's where the ball goes. Hayes, as a Motherwell defence, try and get themselves back. It's still Johnny Hayes. Still Johnny Hayes!
Yes! Get it in ya.
A brilliant effort from Johnny Hayes.
We're in the semis.
And the Dons, as this place empties quicker than snow off a dike.
Apart from the Aberdeen end. Look, they're mental.
Absolutely. And Johnny Hayes, fantastic solo goal.
Fabulous performance from Aberdeen tonight. Everything going against them.
And this team just do not know when they're beaten.
They don't. No. It's been superb. Words fail me, to be honest.
That's it. Absolutely fantastic.
Oh, with a capital F. Magnificent. That performance had everything, didn't it?
Yeah.
The work rate, the shape, the discipline. It had everything.
It had everything, said Dave Galloway. Mind you, he also said magnificent with a capital F, I think.
Words fail Andrew Shiney, that'll be the day.
Yeah.
It had everything, said Dave Galloway, including living dangerously on occasion, but never in doubt, right, Dave?
Of course, absolutely.
Of course not.
As much as I could hear a cheer from the away support, all 2,500 plus of them, it did sound like the home team was being booed for their efforts or their perceived lack of them, something Don's teams of the not-too-distant past have experienced all too often, and in cup competition as well as EGT, but not this season. So what's the difference?
This season, I think they just everything seems to have clicked. They appreciate, you know, we say this team doesn't know when it's beaten. You know, that's the thing. It's 90 minutes of solid work from start to finish, and the style of football is like the fans are enjoying it. You know, we've got plenty of pace. We absolutely murdered Motherwell for pace on Wednesday night. Can we also mention that, just while we're on the subject of Shiners, about the get it in you? He almost lost it there.
I really thought, what is he going to come out? Get it in you? That's okay then.
But I think, and yes, you could hear the Motherwell fans booing because we were actually situated in amongst them, which I think was who Andrew was probably talking to at the time. it's fantastic. And
Panzer tank, yeah.
They deserve all the credit, the players and Derek and Tony and the rest of the backroom staff for the way they've gone about it. Because you saw on social media when Joe got sent off that, you know, it was a case of, oh, well, that's it. We've blown it yet again. But we said in commentary throughout that Motherwell didn't really know how to handle it because they were resorting to ridiculous long efforts. The Dons' defence were magnificent. Everything that came their way, they were dealing with. Peter Pollitt and Johnny Hayes, not recognised fullbacks exactly, but defensively were fantastic.
I mean, some of the tackles that Peter Pollitt was putting in, absolutely superb.
Yeah, no, the whole thing, it was just, I can't remember as gutsy a performance from an Aberdeen side. I can't remember the last time we saw that because everything was against us. And, you know, Clark Robertson with the nasty injury as well, stretchered off. So that's your two fullbacks that you started off with have gone. You know, Andy Considine came on as everything changed. And I felt sorry for Calvin Zola, who was, you know...
It's not the first time he's been sacrificed for the sake of it.
Yeah, and you know, they had to change it. Simple as that. And, no, we changed formation so often on Wednesday night, but every time it changed, it worked. You know, and how often have we seen in the past change of formation every 20 seconds, it seemed like, and it didn't work? You know, trying to find one...
What are you thinking of? Which managerial genius are you thinking of?
No, I can't remember.
Standout players these past two games, because we said it was going to be a big week with the three games in 9 days. Standout players. I thought Russell looked great against Dundee United, and taking a lot of plaudits for the way he handled Motherwell. Who else shone for you, Dave?
Well, Russell was the name on my lips, because he was just amazing the way he marshalled the troops. Willow Flood, here, there, and everywhere. Absolutely, you know, superb. Absolutely top drawer. Got to say a word of praise or two for Johnny Hayes. I think he's been in superb form. And I mean, look at the way he took that goal, the breakaway against Motherwell. Just absolutely magnificent. Slide rule pass from Scott Vernon. The way Hayes just ran into the box. And what a shot by Johnny, just to, you know,
The Motherwell keeper has taken a few pelters, and rightly so, but I don't think anybody...
No, he couldn't have stopped that. It was hit with such power.
Yeah, and think about that was in the 90th minute.
Yeah.
He must have been shattered. But yeah, it was a bit very similar to Greg Wiles last Saturday, and again it was Scott providing the pass. And brilliant.
Going back to Russell just for a second, Dave, is there something ticking away at the back of his mind, do you think, where he's thinking, you know, there can't be too many more of these for me as a player? Does it drive the desire to find that little extra, do you think?
I don't think Russell needs anything extra to drive. He knows he's in the twilight of his career. He's already making plans for what he's going to do after he finishes playing. It would be lovely for him and for everybody, obviously, if he could grab, you know, become the first captain. So, you know, Stuart McKimmie doesn't want to be. He's fed up that he's the last captain to lift a trophy.
I'm fed up of it as well. Every time I see him, I tell him that.
Yeah, so do I. I think it would be great for Russell if we were to lift it. And again, you know, without getting carried away, because the manager, quite rightly, is trying to keep everybody's feet in the ground, but it is difficult. You know, we will never have a better opportunity.
No.
Because that was Motherwell away was the toughest quarter-final I think we could have got. We came through it with flying colours in adversity. So, you know, fingers crossed and everything else.
Oh, toes as well, yeah.
And to that draw for the semi-finals against St Johnstone.
It was important that we try and make progress. I think we've made good progress in the league campaign so far, but it is only a start. We're just into November and obviously through the first quarter of games, and if we can replicate something similar in terms of points return, then it would suggest we could have a decent season. But we quickly know that that can change if we don't show the same level of performance. So, no, the players, as I say, they're brilliant to work with. They are working hard for that improvement, and we're all hoping we can have some sort of success this season in improving what's been, because, you know, the last 4 years we've been out with the top six, which is incentive enough for us. We want to make sure we're in amongst that if we can, and then hopefully try and do something in the cups. And thankfully now we've got ourselves in a position, we're 90 minutes away from a cup final.
90 minutes away from a cup final, maybe 120, but let's hope not, unless we're a goal down in 89. Involuntary noise. St Johnstone in that semi-final, who knows where, on the weekend of 1st and 2nd February, where would you like to see it played?
I think it'll be played at Easter Road. It's still to be confirmed, and I think that, you know, we're going to take upwards of 14,000-15,000 St Johnstone, maybe 5,000-6,000 you would think. So
yeah, we could pick some of them up on the way. It'd be a friendly day.
We could, yeah. yeah, we've got plenty, and there's a few former players, of course, with St Johnstone now, that Aberdeen players, Rory Fallon, Steve McLean and Gary McDonald,
who scored
on Wednesday night. But no, I'd not really fussed where it is, but it really deserves to be somewhere where everybody from the Red Army that wants to attend is able to attend. And Easter Road is probably, I would have thought, the best. It's bigger than Tynecastle.
Will it host both semi-finals, you think?
Well, there's a possibility it could.
I think it's got an ideal capacity, to be fair. It's 20,000, which I think is just about right. I
mean, it's also a great, from our point of view, of all the clubs in the league, it's the best position for us, because it's right, you're right at the centre and right at the back, and you can still, even with my failing eyesight, I can still see the players.
So the commentary should be top notch, is what you're saying.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, it normally is, isn't it?
Absolutely. Did I say anything other than that? I just said the commentary should be especially top-notch on this occasion. Let's hear your thoughts on that subject as we turn to the weekly topic via Aberdeen Mad. And this week, one started by PWLP, entitled Semi-Final and asking one question, when, smiley face, well, either the 1st or 2nd of February, shortest topic ever, thanks for getting in touch. Where was more the question? Regardless, Dave's got your contributions as that thread continues.
Yep, we take it up from after the draw when it was made yesterday afternoon. D-Don says he would have preferred Hearts as they looked gash against Hibs. Mac Attack counters that we would probably have done a Hibs and he's glad it's Saints. Let the debate commence as to where the neutral venue is, asks Bornbread. Stoopy82 reckons it will be Pittodrie for the other semi-final, Tynecastle for ours. But how would that help either of the Old Firm, asks West Coast Don. Good question. From Hilton82, no way it's going to be at Tannadice. Even Tynecastle, our allocation won't be enough. Saints will take 6,000 to 7,000 at most. We could sell 15,000, no problem, even if it's a Sunday game. I reckon Ibrox or Celtic Park would be far too big. We would see a crowd of 25,000 max. OK, Tynecastle doesn't hold that much, but it's a fantastic atmosphere. Folk would miss out, but I think it's still the best option available. O'Kan, I reckon it will be Easter Road for our game and probably in Glasgow for Hearts against Inverness, even though it should be played in Aberdeen. More likely Easter Road than Tynecastle, as it holds 3,000 more. That's from Snelder's Saves. And from SS Dawn, the game has to be at Easter Road. We'd get the new stand and the end opposite to the normal away end. They can have the main stand. Then see how much is sold. The way end is set up to be for one set of fans or two, so we can either share that or we can have it all if they can't, or have it if they can't sell enough. No way should this game be in Glasgow. The stadium far too big there. Next up is Pitch Mick 2013. At times like this, it really shows how ridiculous it is Dundee and Dundee United don't ground share. Yeah, let's try and put it to our friends that support either of those clubs.
Yes.
If they had a fancy 25 to 30,000 stadium, it would be perfect for cup semi-finals and the like, which is very true. And from Eintracht Frankfurt, if it's at Easter Road, there's going to be a mad scramble for tickets. 15,000 isn't enough, really, for us. From Old Toon Toby, venues may well be Pittodrie and Tynecastle, as the semis are scheduled at a weekend of league fixtures. They would be the easiest solution to avoid major disruption to fixtures that weekend, but will depend on where Hibs are due to play them. If away, then Easter Road would be my preferred choice due to larger capacity, or Tynecastle if it's a Sunday. League will try and not move too many fixtures. One further possibility, vacant Taddy Drome that weekend.
Mm.
No.
The suggestions there for the other semi-final, Pittodrie, has that been suggested at Pittodrie?
Well, I'm sure. We're obviously not going to be playing at Pittodrie that weekend. We were due to be playing Celtic at home in the league, but that one will be shifted. Why not? You know, we've had semi-final there before quite recently in Inverness and Hearts. You know, if it's Easter Road for Hearts, which it was the last time the two sides met a neutral venue, Inverness fans could have quite rightly say, well, how come it's always them that have to travel? It's you know, be fairly similar distances.
How many did we take to the semi-finals in recent years?
We had about 16,000 at the League Cup semi-final against Celtic at Hampden.
I think we took about 15,000 to the Hibs game as well. And that was a 12 noon kickoff at Hampden. That was amazing.
Yeah.
We actually had more fans there than Hibs.
Hibs grounds, what, just over 20? Okay. Remember, you can take part in our polls and topics online at Aberdeen Mad. We always look forward to your comments. Just make them clean enough to broadcast, please. You know. They're there on a weekly basis. Occasionally, we'll initiate the topic. More often than not, we'll take one of yours and we'll flog it. But that's how you can contribute to the show on a regular basis, via Aberdeen Mad. Of course, you can email us directly here, sport@northsound.co.uk. sport@northsound.co.uk. It all counts for nothing, of course, unless we come back up the road with a trophy and an open-top bus. Do I get to do the microphone on the bus that day if we win? come on, do I?
Nice problem, I'm sure.
please.
Yeah, go on.
I will retire the day after if that's the case. Surely that's incentive enough for someone to make it happen. Anyway, a good week so far, but next, a tricky one at home to a team who've had their best results away this year. Premiership new boys, Partick Thistle. Boss Derek McInnes again.
They've been excellent. Every time I've seen them, never been failed to impress. They've done a great job. They've really brought something to the league. And all the plaudits they've been getting is well deserved. You know, I really enjoy watching them when we go to games and watch them. And we've got a tough match ahead of us. They make the pitch big. They push their fullbacks on. They're very expressive and they all handle the ball well. And credit to them for that because, you know, I know when I come up with my St Johnstone team, there is that element you're not really sure and you make sure you're hard to play against first and foremost. So, yeah, brave, but also I think it's the right thing for them to do.
They're in eighth spot, and so far, as Eric says, trying to play that attractive game that they want to, which we've seen teams coming up from the lower league probably before. Hamilton, for instance, before having to sort of roll the sleeves up mid-season and try to win ugly, as Adam McLeish once put it. But this season, a little bit different as much as Hearts. They're way back down there, so Partick don't really have that survival pressure, do they? Could this be a banana skin for the Dons?
Well, potentially. Thistle are better on the road than they are at home, and all of their victories have come away from home. So they're very attractive. They've got a goal threat in Chris Doolan. He was struggling to find the net a few weeks ago, but then he got that double up at Inverness. And the fullbacks, both with Aberdeen connections, Taylor Sinclair and O'Donnell, very, very impressive. Celtic being linked with Taylor Sinclair in the January transfer window. So, no, Thistle, they've got absolutely nothing to lose. That said, down at Fir Hill, that was an absolutely masterful display from Aberdeen that afternoon, and it was like men against boys. But Thistle, away from home, I think, are a wee bit of a different proposition. I think we'll win, obviously, but it's not going to be an easy 90 minutes.
Recent clean sheets would suggest that the Partick probably really struggle against us. Jimmy Langfield taking nothing for granted, though. Yeah, I thought that was great. The players acknowledging the fans Wednesday night, which, with the chance of a cup semi-final or not, it's asking a lot for people to travel that distance midweek, knowing that they won't be getting home until likely the early hours of the following morning before having to go back into work the next day, not to mention the expense, and still almost 3,000 people did it. So the players acknowledged their efforts, and I think that was appreciated by everyone, apart from the ref, when Johnny Hayes scored the second.
Yeah, I think
that's ridiculous, that booking, you know. But, you can't celebrate in front of your
always,
own fans.
It was always going to come.
I know.
I mean, I'm not that quick to defend referees, but he had to do it because he would have been marked down had he not gotten yellow card. But it's one of these silly situations that we're have to face. But the fans were absolutely magnificent on Wednesday night, and the managers mentioned about the bonding between the fans and the players, and you asked earlier why is it different? I think it's the fact that we look as though we're perhaps going to bring some success, and if we don't, it's not through lack of effort, and the supporters really appreciate that. The three guys who weren't stripped, Michael, Nicky and Cammy, they were sitting in with the fans.
I've seen photographs of them sitting in with the Aberdeen fans.
They went as nuts as the fans, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially Cammy.
And again, the three of them, as soon as the final whistle went, were back onto the pitch celebrating with the rest of the team. And that's the great thing. There's no pockets in this dressing room. There's no cliques. And, the whole club is just a fantastic photograph of the dugout where I said to Jim Warrender that I'd seen him smiling in a picture. He didn't believe me, but I'm sure.
And he was smiling.
There. And, brilliant. Really good.
It was great to see the gaffer as well. He said after the game at Motherwell, he kept on sending the subs to warm up in front of the Aberdeen end. just to sort of get the fans going, just to keep the pot boiling, keep the atmosphere coming.
I'd be surprised if they managed to get that entertainment played after that win, though. I wouldn't have thought. You're at Northern One's Friday Sport. We're previewing Aberdeen versus Partick Thistle at Pittodrie on Monday evening. Just ahead, we'll hear from the SPFL new boys, as well as Aberdeen's Peter Paul, and more from you. And don't forget, our coverage of the entire game with the Northern One sports team is always on Monday evening, live on Red TV at afc.co.uk. The two Daves and Andrew Shiney in position to take you through it from a very red perspective, afc.co.uk. But if you can't be with us online, check out Romeo on In Demand right here on Northern One. We'll keep you up to date there. Or better still, why not be there with a pal for free? Here's how. Just answer this question correctly. Which player who represented the Dons last year is now plying his trade with Partick Thistle? Name the player who turned out for the Dons last season. He's now playing at Firhill on a regular basis. The number you need to call to take part is Aberdeen 400 969 01224 400 969. And stay here as we continue with our preview. We're back with the game and Partick's Alan Archibald on the way in moments on Northern One's Friday Sport.
Northern One, keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie, Balmore and across the Highland League. This is Friday Sports.
It's Aberdeen versus Partick Thistle on Monday evening. Jack's boss Alan Archibald expecting another tough match.
It's a hard wee run of games. And out with Inverness, Aberdeen's probably the next hardest one to go to and try and get a result.
Next to a player whom you felt needed a big season this year, but so far appears to be having one, Peter Pollitt, enjoying the way things are going, and behind-the-scene changes account for a lot. Amongst those, the introduction of Graham Kirk to the club to work the players on a one-to-one basis. Peter Pollitt explains some of the things Graham's introduced.
The things I've got on their skins and they're for recovery and things like that, and you're supposed to wear them 48 hours like, after the game, and they just help your body recover quicker. You wear them before the game as well, and in the future he wants us to wear during the game as well. Also, taking us to the gym every Tuesday afternoon, Thursday afternoon. It was TRX stuff, and it's like ropes that hang down from the ceiling, and you know, they help your core and things like that. And that's what helped me when my time at St Johnston. And he seemed to bring that here, and you know, the boys have taken to it already.
Taking us out to the gym every Tuesday afternoon makes it sound like a day trip, doesn't it, Peter? Bless him. We'll get sandwiches packed as well.
Are we there yet?
Yeah, the Graham Kirk, he's certainly making an impact, and it was good for Graham that Peter had the experience down at Perth of his methods.
Kind of like an icebreaker for him as he comes into the club.
Yeah, and nope, he's obviously paying dividends as well.
It sort of plays into what I think must make the difference at the top level, and I've spoken about this before, those tiny percentages, whatever you can make them up, add to a sort of bigger gap between you and the opposition. And the team didn't appear to be weakened noticeably in Wednesday when they were down to 10 men. They appear in better shape and stronger will, tiny percentages aggregating positively, Dave.
Yeah, definitely. It's small. It is down to fine margins, and certainly the fitness came through. That's, you know, we mentioned it there about Johnny scoring that goal, a lung-bursting run right at the end of having to, you know, spend as much time backtracking as he was going forward in his more normal position. So, it is these little attention to detail will make a difference. And as I say, I think we're reaping the benefit.
Just ahead of the teams for Monday, let me bring on the weekly poll because it plays directly to that. This week's poll, should Barry Robson start Monday's game against Thistle? It's got to happen sooner or later, hasn't it? So should Barry Robson start Monday's game against Thistle, Dave?
Yes, 76.8%. No, 23.2%. Very decisive.
Dej77 adds, you can see the quality he's got within minutes of him being on the park. If he's fit enough for 90 minutes, then he should be on the park. Plain Chant Don, who would be dropped? Pollitt, maybe, if his groin strain is still affecting him. If not, it's hard to drop him. We could maybe put McGinn up front instead of Zola, Pollitt wide and Robson through the middle. Pitch Mick 2013, despite our recent terrific results, I'm still unsure about Zola and Vernon, who, despite a fantastic sub-appearance at Easter Road, still seems to blow hot and cold. I'm still keen to see how a 4-3-3 would work with Jack, Flood and Robson in midfield and Pollitt and Hayes playing either side of McGinn. I'd also like to see more of Cammy Smith. Ando, please come back. Surely if we want to match fit for the semis, he's got to be playing in as many games as possible between now and February, and we're not that good that we can rest our best players. Teams now know that we're decent, so we'll up their game against us. We need our best 11 out there, and they need to be giving 100% every game. I'm sure DM will have that drilled into them. Finally, with so-called Dandy, who says, in modern football, it's not about players being dropped, it's about a manager using his squad. In this case, Robson needs some game time to get him back up to speed with the other players, and a player like Pollitt or even Jack could probably do with a rest. Given, however, that Joe might be suspended, the manager will use his squad by having Jack cover for him and putting Robson in midfield. It'd be nice if we could put a couple past Thistle early and allow some of the kids some game time too, but I expect Thistle will make it very difficult for us. Is Joe banned for...
Yes, it's two games, but under the new system, it's one game immediately, the next competitive game, and he also, unfortunately for him, misses the semi-final.
Yeah, brilliant. Not what we want to hear, is it? Let's get on to the teams for Monday, and this is where perhaps that squad rotation will have to come into effect, I'd think. Predict to Derek time. These are the 11 men who you think will start for Derek on Monday night at Pittodrie against Partick. Dave the Younger, we'll start with you. The team for Monday, please.
I will go with Jamie Langfield in goals, a back four of Ryan Jack, Andy Considine, Michael Hector and Mark Reynolds. I would have Barry Robson as the sitting player. Then a four of Johnny Hayes, Willow Flood, Peter Pollitt and Niall McGinn, with Scott Vernon leading the attack.
Yeah, similar. Jamie Langfield, Ryan Jack deputising at right back for Joe. I've gone with Russell Anderson just because he was so immense. If he feels fit enough to start, I think he should be in, even though we all said last week he won't play three games, he might. So Jack, Anderson, Considine, Reynolds, Hayes, Robson, Flood and Pollitt, and McGinn and Vernon.
Okay. And now, the one to watch, the man who will potentially make the difference to the result for the Dons. Dave, you're one to watch this week.
Barry Robson, if he starts, which obviously he does in my 11, so he's looked good when he's been coming on, apart from maybe that pass back with the outside of his foot to Jamie at Easter Road last Saturday. although when he came on at Easter Road, I don't think any of his passes weren't with the outside of his foot. I mean, and very accurate, but that one was just a wee bit for as far as we were concerned. That was my heart, by the way.
It's a technical term. Yeah. I thought you meant it was a quick succession of passes.
No. So Barry Robson for me.
Okay, and Dave Galloway.
I'm going to go for Niall McGinn, John. He's been working ever so hard and he's been contributing a lot to the team without getting in amongst the goals as he maybe would have done last season. So I'm picking Monday night to be the match that Niall McGinn comes good.
And finally, a scoreline for the match, Aberdeen versus Partick Thistle. Dave?
Aberdeen 3, Partick Thistle 1.
Well, that's funny. That's what I'm going with as well.
Yeah, well, I was, but I think we're doing really well clean sheet-wise and, you know, we're not letting many in. And Thistle don't score that many, so I'm going to go for 3-0.
Okay. You were thinking about upping the goal, say, weren't you? You were thinking about going for
more. I don't want to
be
unrealistic.
Right.
let's just keep our feet on the ground here.
I don't want to be unrealistic, Dave McDermott. To the other games, and first up, a former Celt leads his team back to face the current crop. Jackie McNamara's Dundee United meets Celtic. Neil Lennon predictably being drawn more on the Champions League than Scottish Premiership at the media conference. And the Scott Brown question.
You're hoping that you'll get the ban reduced, but if not, then you obviously have contingency plans just in case. We didn't win it. So Kyle, Mulgrew, Ledley, you know, Ambrose can play in there as well if need be. So we do have an idea of who is going to play on Wednesday, obviously.
And whilst Lennon may have one eye midweek, Jackie McNamara knows the home fans won't settle for anything less than 3 points prior to that.
Expectation, they have to win every game, regardless of their performance or the way things are going in the game or things going against them. You know, if they don't win, it's a draw, it's a crisis, or you know, something's happened in the game. So I know that I've lived with it for 10 years and Neil's living with it as a manager. The players have got there, are used to that. That's why they win championships.
Will they be slightly distracted, I wonder, Dave, Celtic versus Dundee United?
Yeah, possibly, but again, there doesn't seem to be quite the same fallout, you know, around the European games. It is a massive game for them, and also the fact that Scott Brown will be suspended, you know, even more so becomes the weight of expectation on the rest of the team's shoulders. But I think they might just sneak through. I'll go for 2-1 Celtic.
Now, you think that Hearts fans, despite their league problems, would be in buoyant mood going into this weekend's fixture, given their progress in the League Cup. But a lot of the Gorgie faithful are in mourning this afternoon at the loss of Pat Fenlon, the best Hibs boss they've ever had. Fighting the good fight regardless is Hearts boss Gary Locke, with confidence taking a bounce again.
Yeah, well, it's huge. You know, they're young lads, and I've said all along, you know, we're going to get our knocks along the way this season, and we were on a bad run. But hopefully, you know, that's a win that not stopped the bad run we were on. And, you know, hopefully now we can go from strength to strength.
Facing Hearts this weekend, Tommy Wrightson's Johnson.
We've got a good squad of players, we've got good staff, and, you know, it's been a smooth transition. And, you know, we've probably in the league, we, you know, again, most managers would say we probably feel we, you know, 3 or 4 points off where we would like to be, but to be in the top six, you know, after the first tranche of games has been pleasing. But we know we've still a lot of hard work to do.
Hearts v St Johnstone, Dave.
Well, Hearts are on a high after beating Hibs, obviously, but I've been very impressed with St Johnstone. They've played some really good football this season. I think they'll outplay Hearts, and it's an away win for me. Scoreline, I would go for 2-0 to the Saints.
2-0 to Saints at the weekend. Cali Thistle won in the most dramatic of fashions against Dundee United midweek. They're back in the Highlands against an improving Kilmarnock side. Boss Terry Butcher.
Kilmarnock have got good players in the team still, and they've had one or two injury problems, of course, and Darren Barr was stretched off last week, but Chris Boyd is a goal machine. He's chasing Billy now. He's on form. You know, it's amazing what a couple of wins does for you.
Kilmarnock's Alan Johnson agrees.
We've not been far away a lot of the other games. You can see the confidence in the players. Kind of expecting to get a result now. Get a bit of belief about ourselves, and it makes a massive difference.
Now, I thought the wheels had come off the car a little bit for Inverness. I'm not convinced, even with the Dundee United victory, that's still not the case. Billy Mackay doesn't seem to be quite his usual self. Chris Boyd starting to find the net on a regular basis. So how's it going to go, Dave? Inverness v Kilmarnock?
Yeah, I think Inverness, their league form has shaded. Kilmarnock have had a couple of good results in the last couple of games. So I'm going to go for a 1-1 share, and it will be Mackay and Boyd on the score sheet.
St Mirren are back in Paisley to face Derek Adams, Ross County, and the knowledge of win would see them leapfrog the Dingwall side in the table.
That has got to be the key message that we go out there, and we are prepared to bring more to the game than what Ross County are. We highly respect them. They've finished fifth last season.
Danny Lennon's key message from Danny Lennon. And Derek Adams.
The pitch is, you know, very good there, and you know, we always enjoy going to the stadium. It's a relatively new stadium, and from our point of view, I think that you know, the team, you know, played well, passed the ball well, got into good areas. You know, Sprill scored a couple of goals on that day as well.
Thank God it wasn't a joint press conference. Danny Lennon and Derek Adams. St Mirren versus Ross County.
Tough one to call, John. Both teams have blown hot and cold. A 1-1 draw for me.
Okay, the other game, Sunday lunchtime, sees Motherwell host managerless Hibs Stuart McCall with his own troubles.
It's a real sore one because we worked all week, and I sensed the real sense of drive and determination before the game. You know, we've ended up on the wrong end of a painful result, so it will be difficult, but that's what we get paid for, and we've got to make sure by Sunday, at least it's a Sunday game, gives us an extra day to regroup.
After their defeat in the Cup tie derby, then Hibs boss Pat Phelan talked of feeling no pressure. Today, as he left the club, he said,
"Regrets in relation to coming to the club? No, geez, no, I've been privileged to manage the club. It's, I said before and I said at the start, it's a fabulous football club with everything going for it. And I just hope it really does kick on, because it deserves, and the supporters deserve it."
So Wednesday was Lyle, Lyle, Pants and Fire. Motherwell versus Hibs, Dave.
Jimmy Nicol will be in charge on Sunday, but I still think there's problems with Hibs. I know Pat Fenlon thinks the squad are good. I think I would disagree. There's real problems there, and whoever comes in has got a lot to sort out. So I think Motherwell will bounce back, and it will be 2-0.
This is Norton One's Friday Sport, our big game on Monday evening, Aberdeen versus Partick Thistle, the entire game live on Red TV at afc.co.uk. With our commentary team in place, as always, the two Daves and Andrew Shiny, afc.co.uk for a very red perspective. Or if you can't be with us online, you'll get all the highlights on In Demand with Romeo right here on Norton One. But better still, why not be there in person with a pal, thanks to Norton One's Friday Sport. This is how. Just answer this question correctly. Which player who represented the Dons last year is now playing his trade with Partick Thistle? Name the player who turned out for the Dons last season. He's now playing at Firhill on a regular basis. The number you need to call to take part is Aberdeen 400 969 01 224 400 969. Now, coming up, a full preview of the games elsewhere, including the Scottish Cup. Some cracking games in prospect there. But first, we turn to Balmour and Jim McAnally directly ahead next on Friday Sport.
North San Juan with the best preview of the weekend's sports action from across the northeast of Scotland and beyond. This is Friday Sport.
14 minutes away from 7. Peterhead don't have a match this weekend, but instead a tough Tuesday night trip to Annan. Boss Jim McAnally.
Remarkably, we're sitting in a decent position. In my opinion, we could have been miles off the top, considering we've
we've not been at it yet, to be honest. You know, so looking to the game on Tuesday, knowing that if you win the game, you would go second. And, you know, I think if we could do that, considering how, you know, how bad things have been with injury, suspension, guys with work commitments, you know, I think I'd be happy with that.
In the Scottish Cup tomorrow, Cooter face Berwick, and Andy Gibson thinks if you're a Dons or Peterhead fan without a game tomorrow, you should head along. They have previous.
We played Partick Thistle a couple of seasons ago at home, and we had a tremendous 1-1 result. So we realise the odds are stacked against us, but we're quietly confident that we can cause a problem here or there for Berwick.
Yeah, good luck. In the other games, another giant killing match and prospect for Inverurie Locos, who travel to Alloa Locos co-host. Go boss, even is Scott Buchan.
When you're playing a team from a higher division than you, you want to frustrate them, obviously. We want to try and get a ball down and play, of course we do, and that's sort of surface, and it's really the only way you can play. So, you know, again, it'll be a really good test for us.
Representation from the Highland League in some of the other games too. Albion at home to Devonfield. It's our Broth against Brechin. Ayr take on Queen's Park. Brora Rangers, they'll have a sneaky wee fancy they can progress against Clyde. Dumbarton face Cowdenbeath. Dunfermline travel to Elgin. Forfort play East Fife. It's Fraserburgh at Montrose. Queen of the South take on Hamilton. And an Athletic at Stennismuir. Stranraer welcome Auchinleck Talbot. And finally in the Cup, more Highland League representation when Turriff United host Stirling. In the Highland League, obviously a reduced fixture list given the Cup matches for some, but in those which go ahead for Martin United are at home to Buckie. That one a 2 p.m. kickoff. Clach welcome Wick. Nairn County travel to Huntly. Fort William are at Keith and Strathspey. This will entertain Lossiemouth Juniors Day.
Yeah, a couple of Scottish Junior Cup matches. In the second round, Buckie Rovers travel to Dalry Thistle. That one was postponed with a waterlogged pitch last weekend. And then there's a replay at Findon Parkvale against Birkhead Thistle following a 1-1 draw last Saturday. In the PMAC group, Super League, but Banksiddy are at home to Hermes. Hall Russell United travel to Deveronside. It's Dice versus Ellen United. Longside at home to Bankery St Ternan. FC Stonywood are away to Maud and New Elgin host East End. In the First Division, East Colony Park, the leaders at home to Buckenhaven Hearts. It's Fraser United welcoming Bridge of Don Thistle. Lewis United travel to bottom club at Newmarket United. And at Heatherfold, Sunnybank versus Glen Tanner in the West Division. Dufftown versus Port Gordon Victoria. Isle of Ale travel to Fochabers. Nairn St Ninian go to Forest Thistle. And the final matches, White Hills versus Inverness City.
You're North Someone's Friday Sport. No game for the Dons this weekend. Aberdeen playing Partick on Monday night at Pittodrie. If you'd like to be there, so I guess this is your last chance right now. Just answer this question correctly. Which player who represented the Dons last year is now plying his trade with Partick Thistle? Name the player who turned out for the Dons last season. He's now playing at Firhill on a regular basis. The number you need to call if you want to take part is Aberdeen 400 969, but be quick. 01224 400 969. Call now. We'll find a winner ahead of the in-demand top 30 at 7. Coming next, our attention focuses on the English game and the weekend rugby.
North Sound 1. This is Friday Sport with John Mellis, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway.
In England, leaders Arsenal face Liverpool in one of many attractive matches in the Premier League this weekend. Chelsea had the opportunity to go top of the table, for a short time at least, by beating Newcastle. On Sunday, Cardiff host Swansea in what's been billed as the biggest derby in Wales. Elliot Cook reports for North Sun 1's Friday Sport.
After an excellent run of form, recent defeats at home to Borussia Dortmund in the Champions League and Chelsea in the League Cup have given the Arsene Wenger knockers fresh ammunition. The fact is, Arsenal have won 7 and drawn 1 of their last 8 in the Premier League and sit proudly at the top of the table. Liverpool have also surprised a few by their position after 9 games. Manager Brendan Rodgers says things are progressing nicely.
Well, I believe we're in a good moment. I believe that we've started the season as we would have wanted. Strong, putting a marker down that we're going to be consistent. After that early period, we've been playing very well. And I think that we can get better and can improve.
In the lunchtime game, Chelsea go to Newcastle looking for a 7th consecutive win. Manager Jose Mourinho admits he has sympathy with the players who aren't in the team at the moment.
The ones I'm not selecting, I'm unfair with them because they are doing everything to play. They cannot do anything else than what they are doing. When they are on the bench and they come in, they give everything, they make an impact.
Manchester United have won three successive games. Small steps for David Moyes' side. United are at Fulham, whose manager Martin Jol remains under pressure. Most of the pre-match focus at the Etihad Stadium, where Manchester City face Norwich, will be on who'll play in goal for the hosts. Manager Manuel Pellegrini's failed to confirm whether out-of-sorts Joe Hart will be recalled. Informed Southampton aim to win again at Stoke. Rejuvenated Sunderland after beating local rivals Newcastle go to Hull. West Ham host Aston Villa. And bottom club Crystal Palace make the trip to West Brom. On Sunday, South Wales will grind to a halt as Cardiff and Swansea meet for the first time in the Premier League. Passions are sure to run high. And Cardiff manager Malky Mackay says players must keep their emotions in check.
You've got to be careful, you've got to be calm, you've got to be professional and make sure that you're doing the best for your team and keeping 11 men on the pitch at every point, because that's something that you've got to be aware of.
Also on Sunday, Everton, who've only dropped 2 points at home this season, welcome Spurs to Goodison Park.
Well done to Fiona Fraser, who identified Isaac Osborne as the player who left to go south and ended up at Partick. Our weekend coverage, Dave.
Yeah, well, Jim Irving and hopefully lots of Dons fans will be at Crombie Park, Cooter against Berwick Rangers. I'll be in the studio tomorrow afternoon on North Sound 1, bringing you updates from round about 2 o'clock onwards.